It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
It's the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Here we are in the second week of Deer Camp. And hope you got a big one on the opening day or not. I'm sure we're going to cover a little bit of that during the show today. But I'm Jop, and he is back. Barbecue Bob is back from Deer Camp. Welcome back, brother.
Hey, thanks. Good to be in the nice warm weather again.
Yeah.
It's like Florida today. Wow, what a strange opener.
Yeah.
The weather was all over the place.
Right, lots of wind, lots of rain where
yes,
we were.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but it was miserable to be out there. So miserable I didn't go out. I just looked out the window.
Well, you know, a campfire always takes care of a lot of that. And this year, of course, I brought the land yacht up, and it has a big awning, so I have a piece of AstroTurf, or you know, the green green carpet that I carry inside the belly of it and the beast, and rolled that out under the canopy, and I have a nice little patio spot right next to the fire pit. It worked out perfect. So
yeah.
Even in the rain, it didn't matter.
Just as long as your back's to the wind, right?
And it was. It worked out pretty good.
Yep.
But yeah, crazy weather. But it's good to be back. By the time I came home, I was up there about 5 days. And by the time I came home, I was ready for some heat. Even though it was warm inside, we still spent a ton of time outside.
Oh, you do. Yeah, you're sitting around the fire, you're walking around the woods, you're sitting in your stand. It's all outside, and while it might not be frigid, it just chills you to the bone, especially if you're wet.
Yeah, you know? And we had, about the third or fourth night, I sat inside with a book.
Ah.
And they were jabbing me because I wasn't coming out by the fire, but it was like, I had been cold all day. And it was so nice inside.
Right.
And I have this book I'm trying to finish up, and I just thought, man, this would be a good time to just make a cocktail and sit inside and read my book. So that's what I did.
Right.
I just had one cocktail that night. I was proud of myself because Deer Camp can get a little crazy.
Oh, it always does. It always does. I tell you that ours was a little different as well, and I'm betting that some of our listeners feel the same way. COVID had a negative impact on the camps where I went. You know that I just go and visit Siciliano's Market. Their family has a camp. And then Sobey Meats, Tim Sobey, he has a camp. And I visited both of those on Saturday before the opener was on Sunday. And they're vastly different this year. The participation was a third to a quarter of the normal guys that were there. And then secondly, you know, part of the fun is guys do what we do. You roll around and you visit other camps. None of that happened. There was purposeful attendance. You were kind of on an invite list only, and you didn't really roam around and check stuff out. And it was just different. It was just really different than, you know, in years past, I'd seen 30 guys standing around a big fire, all passing a bottle. Now they got little cups that they hand out to everybody because nobody wants to get COVID. And you know, then, like I said, maybe 10 guys were there as opposed to 30 during the whole time I was there. It was a little disappointing, quite frankly.
And, yeah, you can't let it run your life.
No,
you can't. It's getting ridiculous.
But it was, you know, I'm thinking I'm outdoors, and there were even a few guys standing around the campfire with a mask on, and I guess that's social distancing and all that. And I'm not telling anybody to wear or not wear a mask.
No.
That's up to them personally. But it was just really different, man, and it kind of took the wind out of my sails for it. I was like, man, this is a lot to do about nothing this year. But hopefully next year we'll have all this crap behind us and we'll move forward. But
I had a great encounter with a buck. Didn't see a lot of deer. The movement was really slow. And I had a great encounter. I went to my favorite spot because I put the guys in, you know, well, the guy who owns the land goes to the same spot every time if he goes out. And so I brought my brother-in-law, Paul, up. He's a plumber from Jonesville, Michigan, and he's like, you know, one of my favorite brothers. And we just had a ball. So I wanted to make sure and put him in good spots, and I tried to keep, you know, all. And I took the leftovers, very much like I do when I take my boys up. I'll give them the good spots.
Sure,
I'll kind of play sweep, clean up afterwards. So I thought by about the second or third day, it's like, okay, I'm going in a good spot today. I know where the deer are. I'm not seeing them where I'm my other spots, so I know where to go. So 5 minutes into my tree stand, I hear crunch, crunch, crunch. It's a cruiser buck coming right at me. And I'm like, cool, cool. And it was a 6-point, maybe 2.5-year-old, beautiful deer, beautiful rack, perfect rack. In 2 or 3 years, he's going to be ruling the land if he makes it. So he came right up to me, and he's a little suspicious, and I wasn't going to shoot him. But right about then, my buddy who owns the land goes, he lets out a big old cough. He's got respiratory issues, and he's a big cougher and sneezer and big guy. And he's in this wooden box that I keep telling him, you're in a speaker box.
Yep.
And it was so loud that the deer just bolted.
Right.
So he runs off towards a hill. And he stands there and looks back like, what the heck was that? Nobody chasing me? Okay. So he saunters up the hill. He's back in the cruising mode. And he's gone. Then, from behind me, heading east, 20 yards away, comes a doe. And I can tell she's in heat. She's a hot doe. And I'm like, oh, dang it.
I'm not going to ask you how you know that.
That'd be a good one to know. You can tell. Very often they'll keep their tail straight up in the air as they walk.
I see. Got to advertise if you want to
yes,
catch anything.
Yeah,
you
know? That's right. Right. Yeah. I've seen you do a dance, something like
right,
that.
Right.
Anyway, she goes by real, you know, not looking at anything, just like in a daze, kind of dopey. You know, they're all horned up. And she walks off over to the center of the property. And I just about then I thought, I wonder if that buck is about directly downwind of her now. Sure enough, he comes up to the top of the hill. He's looking around. He runs down the hill, and he's looking right where she went. And he's just standing there staring. And I'm thinking, oh, I know where she's at, and she isn't moving.
Right.
And this went on for about 5 minutes.
Kind of fun, though.
And he's just real bold, you know, making his stance. And pretty soon she comes running back, and she runs right at him and comes within about 2 feet and cuts left and goes up that same hill.
Yep.
Tail in the air, and he looks up that hill, and he's like, I'm coming!
Yeah.
He went booking after her. And it was just cute, you know?
Yep.
It's
right.
One of the cooler things to watch.
Yep.
Brother Paul, it was his first time with a bow, so I borrowed a crossbow for him. And he wasn't paying attention when my buddy Joe told him how to unload it.
Uh-oh.
And he dry-fired it.
Oh.
So he now owns a bow. He owns a crossbow.
Did he blow it up?
He cracked an arm. So I took it down to Alan Bob's last night. And Merle's putting it on the bench and ordering new arms for it. And we're going to get it ship-shaped for him. And he's going to buy him a bunch of bolts and get him a target. And he's going to be... He loved it. He
yeah.
loved being, you know, having to let the deer get close. And
yeah.
he saw more deer, even though I'm complaining about the number of deer. He hunts in the UP. He's got that cottage up by Munising.
Right.
And they don't see any deer anymore.
Right.
So he said, I saw more deer on this trip than I've seen in the last 10 years in the UP.
Right.
Because I kept putting him in good spots. So he was getting looks.
Right.
But he was cautious because
yeah.
didn't have any time
Speaking
to practice.
Speaking of crossbows, my goddaughter, Charlie's daughter, got a crossbow, and she's hunting with it this year.
Nice.
She put her thumb up in the string, and it about took the end of her thumb right off.
Oh, no.
You know, she held her forearm. She rolled her hand.
Oh,
up a
no.
little bit, and that string wasn't the bolt, but it was the string. Snapped the top of her thumb, man. Took her fingernail, boom.
Oh,
just
gonna be
nasty.
Ugly.
Yeah, just hurt.
Bet she's still
really
in pain.
Sore. But anyway,
how
do you make that go away? My favorite thing from deer camp was Elijah Craig bourbon has a little holiday pack with a jar of juice that comes with it, which is pre-mixed old fashioned. Mixer.
Oh, my gosh, you're kidding me.
No, it's got the cherry juice and the bitters and everything right with it.
Oh, perfect.
And you put a little of that Elijah Craig over ice, and you just dump a little bit of that in there, and you got a perfect old-fashioned,
well,
man.
You know,
not dinking around with all those bottles. It was like, okay, there's my best find to do.
That is great news.
All right, coming up next, if you were lucky enough to get some venison, we might talk about roasting its leg. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fen Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.